start.
Okay.
So, this particular parsha in Parshas Va'aloischo is a bit, it seems very twisted. That's why I entitled this, you know, Bitochen as a means of untwisting a twisted mind. Of course, anything we say about the Dordea, about all the giants of our Tanakh, Chumash and Tanakh, we have to know that they're only to be understood in a very, very minuscule way, meaning that they're described as major offenses, but they were only considered major offenses because of the greatness of the people. But in reality, they were probably to us imperceptible as to some ever so slight confusion, mistake, blindness, negia, something. But because they were such great people, and this was unacceptable for such great people, it's reflected in terms, it's presented in terms of almost like a terrible crime was committed. But we have to keep that in mind. It's very important to keep that in mind. And it's like, in fact, that's one of the things many people over the years I've noticed that don't necessarily know very much about Torah, about Yadus, but when they read the Bible portion and they see that it's only in this Jewish religion that they so malign and speak negatively about their greatest people. Moshe and Aaron are the Torah describes why they don't go into Eretz Yisrael. Yan lo he'emantem bi lahakdisheni. They were lacking in emuna. Moshe and Aaron. If Moshe wasn't the Mabin, then who was? You know, and so many similar things. And the fact that the Torah is so frank and so open about the shortcomings of its leaders, I once heard a British lecturer say, you would think when you read the Torah, the Tanakh, it was written by an anti-Semite. That's the way they pronounce it. You know, like, who washes their dirty laundry in public to such an extent? And that, to many, is one of the strongest indicators that this is true. In other words, the Torah was about truth and telling us truth and telling us lessons that we can learn, and even magnified what really would be the slightest of offenses in terms that we could appreciate it so that we can learn a lesson. You know, when we talk about the jealousy of the Achim, these are the Shiftei Kor. They weren't petty jealous, you know, and they paskin the din Torah that Yosef was a Roidif. And so they had some ever so slight something that blinded them, probably beyond anything we could ever comprehend. But the Torah blows it up into terms that we can relate to and says, that was jealousy, you know, and because of jealousy, they made a mistake. But we shouldn't understand it as our type of jealousy, but rather infinitesimally small. So anything that we discuss and that we learn about this has to be seen in that way. This in Perek Yud Dalet, the Klal Yisrael speaks Vayilonu al Moshe al Aaron. Yeah, Moshe and Aaron were the shluchim who took them out of Mitzrayim, and now here they are in the Midbar, and they're afraid that they're going to die in the Midbar. He says. It says Shluche Hakel Yisporach on the bottom right, Lo Itzio Mi Mitzrayim, La Tzio Mi Kol Eimas Moves Bamidbor, VeOmer Shekol Ze Nasa Kedei LeSitom BeYadu Emiri. They said all of this was done to put them into the hands of the Emiri when they go into Eretz Yisrael, and the Emiri is going to get them, is going to devour them, and that's going to be it. Excuse me, this is Parshas Shlach, not Parshas Va'aloischo. I'm sorry. Veloma Hashem mevi'ei sonu. That's a posuk later. Look at the sipurnu. This is also the sipurnu over here. Machotonu loy shehishtadel al yedchem la'avienu lekach. What did we sin to him that through you, Moshe and Aaron, he tried to bring us to such a terrible situation? Ki choshvu shohoyo kol eile betachbulo meitoy misinosoy oisom bishvil gilulehem b'mitzrayim. They thought that everything that was happening, that because they were engaged in some type of Avedu Zorah in Mitzrayim, they're being punished. Oyle Siba Acheres, or even another Siba, they weren't even sure that it was the Avodah Zorah. Kasher Heyid Ba'omru, as the Torah testified when they said later in Dvorim, Vatoimru, Besinas Hashem Oisono Tzionu Meretz Mitzrayim, with the hatred Hashem hated us, therefore he took us out of Mitzrayim, Losei Sersonu B'yadu Emoiri, to put us in the hands of Emoiri, the Knanim, L'Hashmideinu, to destroy us. This is what the Klal Yisrael said. They heard the report of the Meraglim, right? They heard, and it was a mixed report. True that there were 10 that said it was negative, but there were two reputable people, Kolev and Yoshua, that said that the situation was doable for them and Hashem would help them and they'd be fine. But they heard this and they were very, you know, overwhelmed with fear, I guess. And what did they say? They said, this is nothing but a sinister plot that began in Mitzrayim, that Hashem hated us because of our own shortcomings, and therefore he took us out of Mitzrayim and he took us to the Midbar and he did everything all to bring us into Eretz Yisrael to destroy us. I never heard something so twisted in my life. The miracles that happened in Mitzrayim, the Hashgacha Pratis, the Chesed Hashem that they saw in Mitzrayim, the Chiposim that they had to run out in the very last moment as soon as they could get out so they shouldn't sink further and be beyond redemption. Mamish Nisim v'Niflois that they saw. They came to the Yam Suf, they reached Vayam Masheroso, Shivcha Layam, Loiroa ben Buzi ben Avuosai. The lowliest maidservant saw the Yad Hashem on the Yam Suf more than Yecheskel Anovi. They came out and they said Shir and they said V'Aminu B'Hashem u'V'Moshe Avdoi. They believed in Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu as the Novi, as the Eved Hashem. They came to the Midbar, they had Mon, they had Anani HaKovid, they had the Amud Eish at night. What? All of this, and wait, I forget, I skipped something. They came to Har Sinai. Hashem gave them the Torah. Har Sinai, the Rashi and Shir Hashirim explains on the Posuk Yishokeinim Mitshikai Spiu that the Klal Yisrael to this day craves that intimacy, that kiss, peh el peh, that we felt at Har Sinai, where Hashem reveals himself and reveals his Torah and speaks directly to us as if one who kisses someone on the lips. And we still crave to relive and to rejuvenate that feeling. The greatest expression of love. He gave us the Torah. Avo rabo avtono Hashem adokeinu v'talamdim chukechayim avas oylem beis Yisrael amcho hofto Torah u'mitzvos chukim mishpotim v'soro libadato. This is the greatest expression of Hashem's love. He gave us a Torah that he no longer had any control over. Lo b'shamayim he. If he tells us that the halacha is, if we paskin and bezdin paskins a halacha, and a baskol comes out and says, no, it's a mistake. Sorry, we'll say it with all due respect. You gave the Torah to us. Lo b'shamayim he. Ein mashkichim b'basko. Famous medrash where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in Erev Rosh Hashanah to the Pamani Shemayla and he says, tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to judge my world. Take out the big books. Next day he comes back, he says, sorry. In the Lishkas HaGosis, where the Bez Nagodol sits, they didn't accept the Eidus HaChodesh. Today is not Rosh Hashanah. I can't judge my world. I have to do it tomorrow. The Beirei Olam, who's going to judge his world that he created, wants to judge his world. He knows when Rosh Hashanah is. When he wants Rosh Hashanah, that should be. No. I gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. There's a process of Eidus that required to make Kiddush HaChodesh. They did not accept the Eidus. Sorry, I can't judge my world. This is what he gave us. And this all a sinister plot to kill us B'yadu Emiri. And he could have killed us in Mitzrayim. What in the world is going on over here? He could have killed us in Mitzrayim, and he's going to do all this love and all these miracles and everything else, and all what? To kill us B'yadu Emiri. And B'chlal, what are you talking about? There were two bona fide witnesses who came back and gave a positive report. So we're talking about a little bit of fear. Talking about it was a lot of fear, but we're talking about a suffix that was certainly some lack of immunity, but there was certainly what to go on in terms of a positive report. No, this is it. It shook them to the core of their being. Not only shook them to the core of their being, twisted their minds to come up with such a, forgive me, what seems to be an absurd scenario as to the sinister plot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite everything that he did, all the love that he showed, and all the miracles that he did, all just to destroy us in Mitzrayim. Now, again, as I said in the Hakdoma, we have to view this in terms of an infinitesimally small mistake on their part. It wasn't that they really thought that this is all a plan to kill us, but something on some level, maybe for these great tzaddikim, maybe the thought passed their mind. Maybe for a split second the thought passed their mind, but it was a big tvi on them because, you know, it's the same story with little kids. The older kid doesn't understand why the little kid can get away with certain behavior and the older kid can't. Because you're 5 years old and you're 15 years old, and a 15-year-old should know better. So there has to be a tighter standard. So too here, these were giants of people. So even if it was a slight infraction, on their level, it's as if it was this type of a terrible thing. So you have to see it in that perspective. But even so, a terrible thing. And here, what really was lacking after everything is said and done, it shattered their bitochen. What they saw, the report, was so scary. That the Eretz Achelus Yeshveho and all the things that they saw there, and they could have interpreted things differently as Kolev and Yoshua did, but they didn't, and they were full of fear, and they were lacking on some level in their bitochen to trust that Hashem is going to protect them and take them in, and there really should have been such bitochen because He took them through thick and thin until this part, but no, they were lacking that. Okay, fine. This is what happened. So first of all, we see how vulnerable a person is. That even such giants who've experienced so much chesed Hashem and so much closeness to Hashem and so much protection from Hashem can be scared, can be shaken up by an event to the extent that they become so overwhelmed that they have to come up with this scenario that, oh, this must be, it doesn't make any sense any other way. Why should he do it? Because really there's only two choices. Either he's taking us into Eretz Yisrael to win or to lose. They were afraid that it's not to win because they wouldn't be able to win. So then why is he taking us there? It must be part of a plot. So, but it can, when you're missing that bitochon, it can become, the mind can play the greatest tricks. Okay, so the question really is how to deal with this. And we also have tricks of the mind. You know, when we're lacking bitochon, sometimes we lose rational thinking too. You know, I mean, I hear people, you know, today there's a lot of people that are in trouble. Business trouble, family trouble, health trouble. And sometimes from the slightest little scare, they spin a scenario, a doomsday scenario out of nothing. You know, nothing happens. Well, I have a little bit, I have a problem, but... And that's what happens when we shake, because we are, you know, we're delicate, we're sensitive, and when we get scared and when we lose a little bit, that bitochen, you know, the Brisker Rav once had a very interesting moshul. He said, slippage in Yahadus is like slipping on the ice. He says, all you have to do is one little slip, and then you slide all the way down. You know, it's just that, you just lose that. That grip, balance, grip, that once in that grip, and the same thing, we lose our grip, who knows what can happen. The question really is, what can be done about this? And that's really the key, because we also find ourselves in complicated and sometimes absurd scenarios that we're afraid of all kinds of things. We hear one little thing, and all of a sudden we have already the worst, you know, worst case scenario. We immediately run to the worst case scenario. And it doesn't make any sense. Hashem's been so good to me until now. He provides all my needs. So there's a little bump in the road. So why should I assume the bump in the road is an earthquake? Why should I assume the bump in the road is a Gehenim Sucha Lefonai is now, it's the earth is going to open up and it's going to devour me alive. So, you know, this is the question. So how do we deal with this? So I found on the Psukim in L'chul Ra'anano, the first Kapitel, the first parak of Tilim that we say on Friday night, L'chun Ranno. So this is very interesting. At the top of the page, you see it. Look what it says. First, David HaMelech, I think he was the author of this kapitel, says, Al takshu levavchem kimrivo, kiyoy maso bamidbar. Don't harden your hearts with argumentativeness, you know, strife, like they did in the traveling in the Midbar. Asher nisuni avoseichem, your fathers, they tested me. Bichonuni, they gave me these tests, these trials. Gamro foli, and they also saw my miracles. But they tested. There was testing and nisim and testing. But then listen what he says. Arboim shono okut bedor. 40 years I fought with this generation. The 40 years in the Midbar. Ba'oimar, And I said, Am Toye Lev of Haim. They're a nation of Toye Lev means hearts that dissuade them, that lead them in the wrong direction. They're Am Toye Lev of Haim. The Haim lo yodu de rochoy. They didn't know my ways. They didn't know my ways, this door of the Midbar, we'll see in a moment. Asher nishpati va'api, ad kedei kach, that I swore in my anger, im yavoh el menuchosi, they're not going into Eretz Yisrael. To my mokom ha-menucha, they are not going because of this. Now this obviously refers to the chet of the Meraglim, because that's what clinched the Arboim Shona Orkut Bedor, that the he fought with them for 40 years because of the, he swore at that time that they're going to have to spend the 40 years in the Midbar because of the chet of the Meraglim. Now, what is this language here? V'heim lo yodu d'rochoy. They didn't know my ways. Who didn't know his ways? The Dor Deo. What does Deo mean? Deo is knowledge. The Dor Deo didn't know the ways of Hashem. So what did they know? Chemistry? Physics? Mathematics? What did they know? The Dor Deo. That's what they knew. That's what they were all about. That was the enlightened generation who knew Hashem and his Torah, who stood by Har Sinai, who heard Hashem speak directly to them, who had the teacher of Moshe Rabbeinu who taught them everything. They were the Dor Deo. They had mon at their doorstep. They saw the Ashkocha Protis. Their clothing didn't soil and grew on them. They Ananiah covered in the Amud Asia. The Dor Deo lo yodu d'rochoy. Very bizarre. What's going on over here? So I found another Sipurno. Look what he says. Okut Bedor. He says, I fought with them. Am Toye Lev of Hemo. Bedeois Mishunois. They had deos that were bizarre, that were strange. Asher b'yod min ha'oved gilulim. They had influence from the Avodah Zorah of Mitzrayim. By the way, the Novi Yecheskel, it's mashma that they weren't fatifed in the depths of Avodah Zorah yet, but they got involved. They were on the way. That's why they had to leave very quickly. They were on the way to that. But they still had, you know, but that left them deos mishunis. They didn't know my ways with moivsim sichliim, with seichel deka wonders. We'll see what that means in a moment. Asher kosavti l'roisim. I wrote, I taught, I gave Moshe Rabbeinu. He wrote it down in the Sefer Torah.
But they've seen Hashem's wonders.
Asher nishpati bir oisi rishom nishpati gzardin shaloi tikra. Then I swore that they're not going to go. Okay, we'll leave that for a moment. They're not going to come into El Hamnuch El Hanachlu to come into Eretz Yisrael. So what does it say over here? It says Klal Yisrael was vulnerable to this shake up in their emunah and their bitochon when they heard the report of the Meraglim because of the deos. What does he call them? Deus Mishunais. They had these bizarre ideas from Avodah Zorah. I don't know exactly what, he doesn't say exactly what, but Avodah Zorah certainly gives you one very bizarre idea, that there's such a thing as a God who has no power. So, if there's a God that has no power, on some level, again, we're talking dake dakis dak minadak adashere nivdak. It's beyond our comprehension. But on some way, that concept, maybe it's that concept of Avodah Zorah, that there's such a thing as worshiping a God who's helpless. So maybe God is helpless in this situation too. You know, that something like that, on a minuscule level. So they had that. So now, but what didn't they do? Look what he says. He says, "V'lo yodu drochai b'mivsim sichliim asher kosavti l'roisom." With the mivsim sichliim that I wrote, what does that mean? They saw the greatest miracles. They saw Yitzias Mitzrayim was nisim gluyim. Kriyas Yamsuf was not shaykh. Imagine kivosus pal barichba for roshavayom. So some say that what happened is the dry land and the water were together. They're walking on dry land while the Mitzrayim are drowning. Right? What you can't imagine. The Shifcha saw more than Yecheskel Anovi. Not Shayach what they saw. So the Teretz says though those are only Moifsim Gashmim. There's a difference between Moisim Gashmim and Moisim Sichlim. Moisim Gashmim means physical wonders.
Hashkocha protis. Nisim, what you see in the physical world. Mevsim sichliyam asher kosavti lohiroisom. Those are the mevsim of the Torah. The Torah is full of intellectual wonders. The intellectual wonders of the Torah are beyond anything that any religion has ever been able to copy, even though they've been copying from the Torah itself, because they never had the key to the Torah Shebaal Peh, so they don't really get the real secrets. Meisim Sichlim, when you study the depths of the secrets of the Torah, then not shaykh.
What's that, Moshe?
What?
That's a funny language.
Let me give you an example. I'll give you an example that's me in Yonah de Yoma here in this parsha, okay? But I have no way of knowing that this is an example, a good example. It's a possibility, okay? It's a possibility of an example. There's a prohibition, a lav against speaking Lashon Hara, okay? Not just one lav, many lav. The Chofetz Chaim lists a whole list of lav. And mitzaseh, okay, fine. But not only can't you talk Lashon Hara, you can't even listen to Lashon Hara. You certainly can't believe Lashon Hara. If you hear it, you have to uproot the belief and say, no, 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 and you have to deny it and so forth, okay? But not only that, you know what this part of the ear was created for, Chazal say? To put it in your ear so you shouldn't hear Lashon Hara. The fingers, they fit perfectly into the ear, Chazal say. So you shouldn't be able to hear Lashon Hara. But that's not all. There's two mitzvahs t'midiyos. T'midiyos, that means that you mechuyev 24/7 not to speak Lashon Hara. Zohar es hasharosa Hashem elokecha lemiryom. That's an ashora against Lashon Hara. And that's Lashon, Zohar is a Lashon t'midi. The Ramban lists it as a sheish mitzvahs t'midiyos. You have to remember all the time. I guess on a subconscious level, I'm going to think about Miriam all day long. I don't know what else you're going to do. But Zohar says, remember what happened to Miriam. Remember what happened to Miriam. Don't do Lashon Hara. It should be on the top of your mind. And not only that, he's Shoma Minega Hatzoras. Don't come to get Tzoras. Tzoras comes from Lashon Hara. His Shomer is a love to me. This you have to constantly guard yourself. So all day long, I can't speak Lashon Hara. I can't listen to Lashon Hara. I can't believe Lashon Hara. I got to put my fingers here. I got my ear over here. And I got to walk all day. Remember me, remember me. Don't come to Lashon. Don't come to Tzoras. Don't come to Tzoras. Remember me, remember. To me, I would say that's a Mefes Sichli. I don't think any human being could ever come up with such a system to prevent one Jew from hurting another one. To prevent one Jew from sending venom into the world, and Lashon Hara is venom, because you don't know where it's going to land, you don't know how many people it's going to kill, how much damage it's going to do. And this is a Mefes Sichli. I don't know if it is, you know, but this is the Torah, the Mishpatei HaTorah.
Which part is the Mefes?
What? No, the Mefes means it's a wondrous. It's wonder means it's beyond human imagination. It's something that's it's supernatural. Yeah, supernatural. Who would think of such a thing? Who would such a system to prevent evil? I mean, and the Torah is full of that. All the mitzvahs. There's tons of examples that one could give, but all of these are all the. And then you get to the depth. I mean, I had today such an experience. I had a problem in the Gemara. I don't want to get into that now. And I'm fighting for 1 hour with a couple of my chevra there, and they refuse to buy it, they refuse to buy it, they refuse to buy it. And then another young man, who's a very, very brilliant young man, a lot of these guys are very brilliant, but he said just one little insight, and everything changed. It was all of a sudden, this question became, oh, you missed this. There was a different perspective. And we pounded away at it for an hour and we couldn't see it. And a little, it was a mephis. A mephis, a miracle. There's a depth there that you can't see. Where do you find such a thing that you go for hours and days sometimes and nothing makes any sense and all of a sudden something pops into your head and it's like a light goes on and you, this is the Torah. The Torah is full of, unfortunately, this doesn't come when you learn superficially. This is something, the mifsim sichlim of the Torah are usually found in the depth of the learning. But this is what it seems like this. So what it seems is as follows. It seems that what the Sipurna was learning, that the mistake was that they didn't spend enough time. They had this negative influence which shook them up from Mitzrayim, and they could have countered it with more. It says, obviously they learned a lot, but they didn't, and they knew so much, but The Mifsim Sichlim of the Torah are infinite. The Dordeya still has where to go. The Dordeya that knows so much, it still can be called Asher Lo Yodu Derochoi. Why? Because my Drochim are infinite. My Drochim are Mifsim. My ways are Mifsim Sichlim. And they're endless in their depth. And the deeper into the depths of the Mifsim Sichlim that I get, the more I connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the more I connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more I don't worry about it. I'm going to worry about the report of the Meraglim. I'm going to worry about Emiri. I'm going to think this bizarre thought that he took us out of Mitzrayim. You see, the thought is really something. It's really, once you're afraid of going into Eretz Yisrael, then this thought becomes less twisted. because well, then why did he take us out? Why did he do all these things? It must only be to kill us by the Emiri. But of course, that's ridiculous. But once But the more that I come to know Hashem and to recognize Hashem and to delve into the depths, and this means even the Dordeya could have delved more into the Mifsim Sichlim of the Torah because they are infinite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah are one, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and His wisdom, His Seichel, His Mifsim, that's the Mifsim, it's infinite. So Memela, that could have made the difference. But they didn't access the maximum of their capacity in the Mifsim HaTorah, and therefore they were lacking in this ability to stand firm in the face of this alleged or this questionable danger, and they lost it because of that. So the answer to everything is deeper insight into the Mifsim HaTorah. But you might ask a question. That might only be for that generation. Because they had already the Mifsim Gashmiim. They saw Yitzias Mitzrayim, they saw Dom, Svardei Akinim, Choshech, Machas Bechoiris. They went through the Yamsuf. They stood at Har Sinai and felt Hashem's Yishokeinim and Shikois Piyu. They lived with Mon at their doorstep every way in their Anan Yaakovet by day and by Anan Eishbal Leidesim, Losko Lebolso Aleichem. So for them, the Mifsim Sichlim could have taken them to the next step. What about for us? We don't have the Mifsim Gashmiim. We don't see blatant miracles. We're not so enamored or awed by everything that Hashem does in this world, although we should be. And although in reality, Rabbi Yankov Edman swears by his life and says that the miracles that have surrounded the survival of the Klal Yisrael in the Golos are greater than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. But sometimes we don't see it as much.
But if they're not greater, they're not big enough?
What's that? No, but the question is, what's the raya? How do I know that the Mifsim Sichlim are going to help me when I don't have, in other words, maybe Mifsim Sichlim are only built based upon Mifsim Gashmiim. Once I've seen all the Ashkocha prophets, and I've seen all the miracles, and I've stood by Sinai, and this, then the Mifsim Sichlim, the deeper and deeper I go, can fortify me and give me a greater sense of Bitochen in Hashem. But if I don't have that basis, how do you know it works? So what's interesting is, look what he says at the end. The Sepuna says, Lochein, he gives us advice. He's talking to you and me. Atem, Bonai, B'nei Kibbutz Golius, the sons of the Kibbutz Golius. When we're living in the time when the Golius should be ingathered. Al Tiyu Kamoisom, don't be like them. Shimu Bekoiloi, Lahabit Benifloys Mitoirosu Mitzvoisov. Listen to the voice of Hashem and see the wonders in His Torah and in His from the Torah and the Mitzvahs. For Lo Yigzar Aleichem Shloi Tizku Limos Hamashiach. So He shouldn't be gozer on you that you won't be zeiche to Yimos Hamashiach. Kamoisha gozer al dor hamidbor Shloi Yikonsul Oretz. We can prevent ourselves from missing out on the Mashiach by studying and focusing more on the Mifsim HaTorah. That means the Mifsim HaTorah, so the Mifsim Sichlim, the Niflois Mitoiroso Umitzvoisov, are so powerful that even if it doesn't have the foundation of the fullest extent of everything they had in Mitzrayim, like Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Kriyas Yamsuf and the Maimon Har Sinai and the Mon and everything else, even without that, we have what we have, but not as much as they had. But even with all that lacking in us, the Mifsim HaTorah have more power than anything else. And that can bring us closer and closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So here, I think, is really a very, 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 very critical message. A critical message. we are vulnerable. We're vulnerable to fear. We're vulnerable to confusion. We're vulnerable to twisted scenarios too, because, you know, we when things don't go exactly the way we expect them, so we get all nervous, and who knows, we can think this, we can think that, the other thing. We should not think for a moment that we're not capable, through the depths of the Mivsei HaTorah, through what he calls Shimu Bekoilo, listen to the voice of Hashem, Lahabit, to look at Niflois Mitoirosli Umitzvaisov, and that will prevent us from being subject to the same exclusion from Eretz Yisrael, even though our look at the Niflois from the Torah and the Mitzvahs does not have the same level of background that they had. So it seems that the Niflois of the Torah are even more powerful. That even though we don't have that basis, we didn't see Nisim.
Is it better without the basis?
What's that?
Is it better without?
Well, I don't know if it's better, but it means
lasting,
what?
Is it a longer lasting?
I don't. This I don't know. This I don't know. But I do know that it can be achieved even without it. That's what he says.
I mean, you don't have an excuse.
Not only do you don't have an excuse, but the that's right. The Mavs don't say, that's right. Don't, it's like you, what do you mean, I never saw, if I saw Nisim Gluyim, you didn't see Nisim Gluyim, you know we're going to get it from the Mavs Satra. But I think there's a critical point that has to be mentioned.
And you can say the opposite also.
What's that?
It was so far removed. If they saw the Nisim Gluyim physical and they knew so much more. Must not be me. I said, must be not a good kasha. They saw the physical miracles and they had the Moshe Sichlum so far light years ahead of us, and still they weren't able to achieve what they were supposed to do. So that's a little chalishas hadas for us. No.
Okay. So yes, except for one thing. Except that everyone
on their level
is on his level. Yeah. See, we are not. We cannot access. We cannot expect, and in reality, to influence us, we do not need the level of Mivsei HaTorah that they needed, because it's beyond us. It's so beyond us that we can't even imagine. We can't imagine how beyond us it is. But each generation and each individual maximizing Shimu Bekoilu Lahabit Niflois Mitorosu Mitzloisov to the extent that you can. Okay, but here comes something I think that's very important. It has to be to the extent that we can. And here I think it's important to note that unfortunately today, a lot of people have opted for more superficial learning. And I don't know at what level, I can't suggest, I can't say, but I just know the concept that at what level it's taken from Mivsim Sichliim to just general, you know, knowledge. Mivsim Sichliim, a person has to, when he leaves his learning, has to be in a spoil. There's no, you know, I'll never forget, I had at a seminar that we put on many years ago. So in those seminars, I introduced that I gave a shir, bi'iyun, in mamash, in-depth shir, in a sugya in Gemara. And a lot of these people that never learned, they never, no sheikh, didn't know what I was talking about, even though I explained it and translated and everything else. They didn't, I'm sure they didn't get it. There was lumbus, there was havona, there was things they never. But I remember a couple of one, I think was an MIT graduate, and then somebody else said, I gotta tell you, I went to, you know, whatever, with this Harvard, MIT, I forget a few. And I says, never had anything so intellectually rigorous as this. Never saw anything so intellectual. They sensed, they didn't know what it was exactly, but they sensed that there was something. So if we opt for the more superficial, I don't know if we're really going to get that influence. Because the influence comes from hispaios. The influence comes from, wow, I can't imagine. In other words, if I learn Gemara and I say, I can't imagine a human being could have written this. If I hear something and I see something, I say, this is beyond the brilliant mind, beyond the genius. That's already a moifus. But we have to think. And the truth of the matter for our kids too, they have to see that. And that's what's so exciting. Wonders are exciting. Seeing the wonders of the world, the wonders of nature, the wonders of technology, that's what excites them. It's wondrous. Trite doesn't excite anybody. simplicity doesn't usually excite people, unless a little bit sometimes something is beautiful because of its simplicity. But generally speaking, what's exciting is depth, genius, brilliance. Of course, our society has a new definition for brilliance. You know what the definition today is? If we don't understand it, we think it's brilliant. Wow, that was a brilliant lecture. What brilliant? Who says it was brilliant? You didn't understand what the guy was talking about. You don't know if it's brilliant or not. You know, so you have to be careful. But I just think this is so, so important. If we wish to really connect to Hashem and develop that bitochen in Hashem, we need that. And I'd like to conclude with a very difficult piece in the davening that we say every day. And I've mentioned it here before, but I think it has a new depth based on this that we just learned today. We ask Hashem in Avraham, Avinu Avrachamun, Hamerachem, Rachim Olein, Avrachamunus. The same with the Beinu Lehovinu Lahaskel, given our hearts the ability to understand the Torah. Lishmoa, to listen, Lilmoy, to learn, Ulalame, to teach, Lishmo, Balasu, Kaim, as called the Rei Samotor Asech Ba'av. Then we say a very strange statement. We go further. V'ho'er einenu b'seir asecho. Enlighten our eyes. Make it light in the Torah, like something unique. V'dabek libeinu b'mitzvei secho. Connect. Devek is like glue our hearts to the mitzvahs. V'yached levoveinu, and unite our heart, the Eitzah Tov and the Eitzah Hara, la'avo u'le'yiro eshemecho, to love and to fear your name. And then we end that sentence with, we should never be embarrassed. Okay, comes along the Avudrom, and he always gives psukim where these lines come from. He says that phrase of leinevish loy lamvoyed is based on a posuk elikai bochtachti ale voisha. David HaMelech says in Kapitel Chof Hei, my God, I've trusted in you. Don't let me be embarrassed. So leinevish loy lamvoyed means because we have bitochoin, we shouldn't be embarrassed. That's what it means. And the raya that it means that, because listen to the next sentence. It says, "Ki b'shem kodshecho botochnu, nogilov nismucho bishu asecho." Well, who says you had bitochen? No, Teretz says, "Lo nevish lo mevoyed," means we had bitochen. And then we say, "Ki b'shem kodshecho botochnu, we should nogilov nis, we should rejoice in the Yeshua." Where's the bitochen coming in? He said, "Pshat is poshet. V'hoye reineinu b'seir asecho." That's a new level. That's not just lilmoy lilame lishma velasis, but our eyes would shine with the light of the Torah. V'dabek libeinu, cling, our hearts are cling. V'yachid of avenu, imagine the Eitzah Tov and the Eitzah Hara making peace together to la'avo l'yira shemecha. That's mevsim sichli of the Torah. When a person achieves and delves and sees the mevsim sichli of the Torah, v'nevo yishleilam voed, then it's a lekai b'cho b'tachti alei b'isho. I say we should never be embarrassed because those ingredients of hereneinu, yachid loveinu, are the meisim sichlim of the Torah, and they bring to bitochen. So now I have bitochen. Lekai b'cho b'tachti alei b'isho. I say v'lo nevish lo levoi because now I have bitochen. The hereneinu b'serasecho, the dabik l'meiru b'misrasecho, the yachid loveinu b'mishomecho, those ingredients of our connection, our excitement, our passion, and our hispailus with the Torah and the mitzvahs, that really brings to true bitochon. And that's what the Sepurno said over here, that when you're misbeinen in the mevsim sichlim of the Torah, then you'll be able to ward off all of these difficulties. The chisoron in bitochon that they had over here was based upon the fact that they didn't do enough. How does he say? V'lo yodu drochai b'meisim sichlim asher kosafi drosim, and they were deo, so they weren't lo yodu drochai at all. They were yodu drochai more than anyone else. But some lack in that v'hoyer einenu b'seir asecho d'amik levinu b'seir asecho v'yachidu v'aveinu, that already brought to a reduction in bitochon. They became more a fear of going into Eretz Yisrael based on the report, and that's the formula. The formula for the ultimate bitochon is this hisbeinus in the Mevsiat Torah. That's my story.